Okay. Kung landed on a black Gemara. We are up to Daf Kuf Mem Dalad Amid Aleph. We're discussing here the Machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chamim regarding squeezing. And the last thing we learned was that the Machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and Chamim is regarding if it oozes out on its own. And we said that when it comes to grapes and olives, which the juice in it is considered a drink from the Torah, if it oozes out on its own, everyone agrees that it's asa. When it comes to other fruits that generally people only eat and nobody squeezes it out, then the juice is considered part of the food. If it's squeezed out on its own, it's mutter. That's what we're doing so far. And the way they're arguing is when it comes to pomegranates and berries. Kadasa, people squeeze it out for juice. So the Chacham is saying in that case, we treat it like grapes and anything oozes out is asr. And Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends what your purpose is. If your purpose was to eat that fruit, then the juice is considered food. We're not going to worry that next time you're going to squeeze. And if the thing was for the juice, then we are worried. Okay, that's the last thing we learned. So we're up to now the Gemara Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph towards the bottom. So Ashken. So we brought a brisa to prove that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Rabbanon when it comes to olives and grapes, that if it oozes out on its own, is forbidden. As we brought from this whole brisa to discussion. But Ashken, we find Rabbi Yehuda the Moidel Rabbanon. We find that Rabbi Yehuda is Moidel to the Rabbanon when it comes to Bezei Sivan Novim, that olives and grapes, if it oozes out on its own, you're not allowed to drink it because maybe next time you'll squeeze. But Rabbanon the Moidel Rabbi Yehuda Beshar Peres Minolon. That which he also said, that the Rabbanon, on the other hand, agree with the Rabbi Yehuda, that when it comes to all other fruits that people generally don't squeeze, if it oozes out on its own, it's considered food and it's not a problem, and we're not making any exodus, how do you know that? Says Gemara Tanya, you can squeeze pegoyin. Rashi calls it prunes, but in French, prunes are plums. So pegoyin are plums, or frishin are basically quince apples, uv oizrodin, I'm not exactly sure what that is, some other kind of an apple or something. But these are definitely fruits that people do not squeeze out. So because you don't normally squeeze it on Shabbos, you're permitted to squeeze them because the juice that will come out of them is not considered juice. It's considered food. All you're doing is separating food from food. So that's not a problem. Aval, loy b'lemoinim, not when it comes to pomegranates. Pomegranates, you're not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos because why not? Because there are some people who use it for the juice. Who? Because the Shabbanes Menashe, in the family of the house of Menashe, b'menachem, hayosoychtim b'lemoinim. See, there were people who used to squeeze when it came to pomegranates. And therefore, there are some people who use it for juice. To go ahead and squeeze it, you're not allowed to, with the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to squeeze it. Because there are some people who treat it as juice. So we might ask a question. So we have a braisa. How do you know the author of this braisa, the Rabbanon? Maybe the Rabbanon hold you're not allowed to squeeze pomegranates. And maybe the Rabbanon hold that you're not allowed to squeeze even fruits that nobody uses for juice. And this is Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, the Rabbanon, need the Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe this Rabbi Yehuda says that, you know, if you use it on its own, it's mutter. I know it's a Rabban. Says the Gemara, very simple. Till now what we're learning was that they're arguing about if it oozes out on its own. Here, we're talking about the chatchila to squeeze. We never mentioned that before in our Gemara. V'tehev enam Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara said, why more happy if it's Rabbi Yehuda? All we know Rabbi Yehuda is that if it oozes out on its own, when it comes to fruits that you don't normally squeeze, it's mutter. Rabbi Yehuda never said you're allowed to squeeze it. So who's the author of this braisa? V'tehev enam Rabbi Yehuda. Eim lo shem, all we know about Rabbi Yehuda is yotzom asom if it oozes out on its own. Soichetin lechatchila mishomele. Rabbi Yehuda say you're allowed to take a fruit that you generally don't squeeze and squeeze it on Shabbos. He never said that. Elamai Islam, what are you going to say? Must be because this is not called squeezing. Squeezing is when you separate juice from a solid. It's mepharik. You're separating two different entities. Over here, because nobody squeezes this particular these fruits at all, it means that all you're doing is you're squeezing out food from food. And that you're allowed to do. So why does it have to be a Rabbanon as well? Everyone agrees that it's not squeezing. Even the chatchila is a filu tamer rabban. So why can't we also use the same logic when it comes to the rabban? Even the laban is chitin. These fruits are not something that's squeezed. A filu chatchila you're allowed to shmamina rabban nishmamina. So what we have here is that when it comes to this, it could be the rabban as well. You're allowed to squeeze fruits. The only argument is when it comes to pomegranates. And the rabban hold when it comes to pomegranates, you're not allowed to squeeze. You're not allowed to even drink what oozes out of it. Why? Because there are some people who use it for juice. Who? Beis Menashe. Says the Gemara, Shabesh Menashe. What does the Braisa say? Because in the family of Menashe, Bar Menachem, they used to squeeze out pomegranates. Amr Rav Nachman, said Rav Nachman, halacha kishav beis menashe v'rav menachem. The halacha is like them. Now, what does it mean? All we're saying here is that during the week they used to squeeze out pomegranate, so they use it for the juice. So what do you mean the halacha is like them? They're not saying anything regarding Shabbos. Amr Rav Nachman, menashe v'menachem, tanu, is he giving us an opinion here? What does it mean? V'chitei mahalachi kai tana. Maybe what you really mean was not the halacha b'menashe. The halacha is like the Tana says that you're not allowed to squeeze out pomegranates on Shabbos because in Beis Menashe they did squeeze out during the week. V'chitei mahalachi, what you meant was kai tana, like the Tana, whoever the author here is. The Sava l'kishav menashe b'menachim that agrees with this particular family's behavior. They used to squeeze out pomegranates, which means they treated it like juice, and therefore on Shabbos you're not allowed to squeeze it, but not. Umashum the Sava, let's say you're right. Let's say the family of Menashe b'menachim halacha gemaisa. Halacha like him, Menashe b'Menachem v'ruba d'alma. So my question is, okay, Menashe b'Menachem's family, they should squeeze out pomegranates. So what does that have to do with the rest of the world? Why should the rest of the world be bound by what a particular family does? Because they, one isolated family, squeezed pomegranates for the juice. Does that mean that everybody else has to be machmer and treat the juice of a pomegranate, and they finally squeeze pomegranates, and if it oozes out on its own, a bone holding a lot, drink it? Why? So yes, in. That's how it works. If some people feel that it's a juice, the rest of the world has to be machmir. Says the Gemara, now we learn, amekayim koitzim bekedim. You know, you're not allowed to have klaim, you're not allowed to maybe have other seeds growing together, let's say, in the vineyard. If somebody has thorns growing in the vineyard, abelezer, amekadolezer, that's klaim. And the Chama say, ain't a mekadish, eladova shekamoya mekaimin. The Chama say, no, it's not klaim. Why isn't it klaim? Because it's not something that people generally grow because they want it to exist, they want the fruits and so on. And Rabbi Chanina says, my time at Rabbi Lezer. Why would Rabbi Lezer say that thorns make climb? What possible spot is there? So he answers, because she came because in a certain district in Arbaya, in a place called Arbaya, Mekaimin Koitse Sodus Ligmalem. Yeah, they grow it there for their animal fodder. And therefore, what do you call it? So we see that it's in a certain segment. People do something, the rest of the world has to respect it, and it has an impact on the halacha. Says the Gemara, media, what do you compare?
Is that Arabia, like we'd say Arabia?
Could be, I don't know where it is.
Could be.
Says the Gemara, media.
We find often in the Gemara that they'll say, Bekracha Hayam, Koidin, Kira, what's the.
Yeah, Kira, which is, selling.
They bring the Krachayayam,
you
know, I always used to wonder this question, who cares what
they're
doing
Krachayayam? Oh, you see right there, but the Gemara's not happy, the Gemara's not pleased. Midi Irya, what are you comparing? Arbaya, or Abya, whatever you want to call it, is Asra, is a region, it's not just a person, it's a whole area. So, okay, if a whole area behaves in a certain way, so fine, so therefore it has an impact. Hocha Botla Daitz, we're talking about one particular family, we're not saying his city, we're talking about one particular family. Why don't you say Botla Daitz, it's a Kaladam? In fact, in halacha, by the way, we say that if, let's say, in a certain region, big machlek is in Paskin, but in halacha we say in a certain region, they this particular fruit, let's say kiwis, in New Zealand or in Australia, they squeeze it for its juice. So the din is, the Ramah says that in New Zealand or in Australia, it's considered juicy, you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos. But in the rest of the world, if they don't use it for squeezing it, the Ramah says, depends why the rest of the world doesn't squeeze it. If the rest of the world doesn't squeeze it because they don't think it's good, then the rest of the world doesn't have to treat it. It's only in New Zealand and Australia where they treat it like juice. You have to be machmir, the rest of the world doesn't. But if the reason why the rest of the world doesn't do it is because it doesn't grow there, and therefore they don't have an abundant supply, that's why. But if it were grown there, they would have done the same thing. Then the rest of the world also has to treat it as if it's juice.
Can I just ask, do we see this principle of learning from a very, very specific place or family or something and extrapolating to a bigger picture? Do we see this in anywhere else outside of food and squeezing?
No, generally we say, we had before also, butler dietates a kolodim, just one person does something, it doesn't have any bearing on anybody else. Well, the koitzim is a city, is an area, so we're machmer everywhere else, but not really. But the Gemara now changes his mind. The Gemara says, you're right. Elahainu time, you know the reason why we're machmed by pomegranates? Kilavchiza, like Avchiza. Amr Avchiza says a whole different word altogether. Even though it's not choshev, if you squeeze it for the juice, then you made it choshev for yourself. Not because it has a bearing on the rest of the world. If those people who squeeze it, for them, it's choshev. This is what I was just telling you before, that area, it is choshev. But then the Magen goes further, delineates, and he says, you know, it depends on the other areas why they don't do it. If it's because it's not chashuv to them or because they don't have it. And that's a big difference. So in other words, the Gemara is saying here right now that for those people who squeeze it, for them it's chashuv, and therefore it's treated like juice. And if it oozes on its own, you know, the Rabbana will be machmir, now I drink from it, and so on. Where do we see that concept that you can be machshav something that nobody else thinks is worthy? At least for yourself. Tardin, budike, beetroot, shesochton, that you squeeze, the nosnon, the mikveh, that if you squeeze and you put it in the mikveh, in other words, we say like this, when we say that you're allowed to squeeze all these other fruits, if it's not for juice, why else would you be squeezing it out? So every person who squeezes, remember we learned in the Brachos before that plums, you're allowed to squeeze. If we just come up with this word that it's choshev, it becomes juice, then nobody can squeeze plums or any fruit. So he says, no. All those fruits that people generally don't squeeze, and if you do squeeze them, but not because you want the juice. You want the fruit to taste better. So you want the juice to be, you know, be around the fruit. You want to get it out from inside the fruit and put it around the fruit. So it's called to sweeten the fruit. And therefore, you don't want it as juice, you want it as food. That's why the squeezing there is not a problem with chitta. It's only if you're squeezing it for the purpose of having juice. So we brought a raya in family, a Beis Menashe, they used to squeeze it during the week in order to drink pomegranate juice. That's why for them, you're not allowed to have it even on Shabbos. And even if their purpose is just to sweeten the fruit, we don't want you to allow that, because since during the week you use it for drink, if we're going to allow you to do it on Shabbos, you're going to do it for Shabbos. The same reason is to drink. Okay. So what's the story about the mikveh? By mikveh, we have a thing called shini mara. The mikveh no longer looks like a mikveh, then it's pasul. We're not talking about mayim shuvin here, where you need three lugin. Here, the criteria is, does the mikveh lose its transparent color? So we have a chiz that says, if you put beetroot into a mikveh, shesach, you squeeze it, but it's a mikveh, poisonous, and mikveh pasul, the mikveh b'shini mara, the mikveh no longer looks transparent, it starts looking red. So here, if it takes 10 lugin, it takes 10 lugin. It doesn't matter how many. It's not a question. The criteria is the color itself. Now, l'chayde beetroots is not something that you normally squeeze. So it's not even considered juice. And only it's only a liquid, l'chayde, that makes it possible. Because you are machshev it by squeezing it, you think that it's juice. Have a little mashke. We treat by mikveh as if it's mashke. Here too, that's the whole point. That since you're squeezing it for a drink, for you it's considered mashke. For you it's considered mashke. Says the Gemara. Rapapa says no raya. Rapapa says, you know what the vort over here by the mikveh is? He said, the vart of the mikveh, you want to bring a whole raya that if I squeeze it for myself and I want it to be drink, it becomes drink, because I'm machshav it. He said, maybe in principle you're right, but nothing to do with mikveh. The case of the mikveh is not because you're squeezing it out and it's machshav it. And maybe the beetroot is not considered your mashke. And you know why it's puzzle? Because anything which you cannot use to make a mikveh, puzzles a mikveh by changing the color. Not because it's considered juice and the whole vart you just said. It doesn't have to be juice. Faket, it isn't juice. And because since you cannot make a mikveh out of beetroot juice, and the chodav she noisim men a mikveh chatchilah pays the mikveh shina mada, will ruin the mikveh if it changes the color. So we learned nafal toche yayin. If wine falls inside a mikveh chaimus of vinegar umoyel is like the water. Rashi explains when you have an olive, there are three stages of an olive. When you start pressing down the olive, right in the beginning, you're just sitting there in this big vat, waiting, you know, and it's warming up and everything else, it starts oozing out a little bit of juice. And that olive is not oil, that's really just very watery. That's called oil, very watery. That's number one, stage one. Then, as it sits there for a number of days and they lean on each other and they're getting warmer and so on and so forth, then again, it comes out, what oozes on its own is much thicker, and that's almost like oil. And then after you finish squeezing the olives, and it still sits there a little bit while longer, and then comes out is again moil. That's like watery part. So it says here, moil, or the watery part of an olive, the shinamarav, and it changes the color of, let's say the wine changes the color of the mikveh, or this oil is, you know, yellowish color, changes the hue of the mikveh, pasul, it is pasul. All these cases are pasul. Now it seems we're talking about here a case of liquids. Man tana de moil mashke, who says that moil is considered a liquid, you can ruin the mikveh. But Rabbi Yaakov, this follows the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Tanya Rabbi Yaakov, I'm a moil, I didn't mashke. That this watery part is considered like liquid. Uma tam omru moil a yetzi betchila tar. And what is the reason they say that the beginning, the very first juice that oozes out of the olive is tur, that it's considered mashkin's tur? It doesn't make anything tumes a machshel kabel tumel fisher ain't no reitze bekiyume. That's worthless. The first part that comes out is not oil or anything else, is worthless. Rav Shimon says moil ain't the kamashka. Rav Shimon says that no, you say that moil is like mashke, but the very first moil that comes out of the olive, you're saying because you don't really want it, it's waste. Therefore, it's not really machshe anything. It's not making machshe, doesn't prepare anything b'kabel tumel because you don't want it. Rav Shimon says no, moil is not like mashke. So if moil is not like mashke, that's why the initial juice that comes out is nothing. It's not liquid. And remember, you need liquids to prepare things to b'kabel tumel. But I do say is umatam omer. Why do they say that the second moil like leitzim mikol beizavad? You know, after you finish pressing, then that juice that comes out, that's already much more oily. So chayda, that should be considered oil and like one of the seven mashkin, the liquids. Why is it that's not matame? Sorry, why is that tummy? If I just finished saying that the moil is not mashke, why is the second moil yes considered mashke? Not because of the moil itself, that watery part, is because definitely there's still remnants of the oil, because if you just finished pressing the oil, there's some remnants. Says the mother, so my benayu. They both agree that the first oil is not metame. The first one said because it is mashke, but you don't want it. The second one says because it's not mashke. They both agree that the second moil, the last moil, is mashke l'kabel tumah, either because it is mashke, the first opinion, or like Reb Shimon says, it's not mashke, but it's a piece of oil there. So then they, what are they arguing about? They're both saying the same thing. The Gemara, my benayu, ike benayu, the machlekes is the middle case. Benayu, the osa bosa itzitza. After they begin to warm up and they're pressing a number of days, and some of the thing comes out. If you hold that moil is considered mashke, and that one you want, because that's already getting thicker, so then it is mashke, it's considered like oil, is mashke kabel tumah, but according to Reb Shimon, it is not. There's no piece of oil there yet, because he haven't started pressing, and he holds that moil is not like mashke. Zerova says, so when you said in the previous Mishnah here, we're talking about wine or vinegar, you said moil, that ruins a mikveh, so we were saying that moil is one who holds that it's mashke, and because it's mashke, that's why it ruins a mikveh. And the Gemara thinks right now, but something which is not mashke does not ruin. Rava says, no, I agree with my Talmud Rav Papa, who says, nothing to do with mashke. Rava Moshe, to have a dove shein oisei mikveh, even if it's not mashke, if it's something that you don't make a mikveh out of, and it changes the hue of the mikveh, the color of the mikveh, will place the mikveh b'shinim mara, changes the color of the mikveh, and it passes because of the shinim mara. Okay, so that's basically how we conclude that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham are arguing about. So we're now concluding that you're allowed to squeeze, let's say, if nobody squeezes in the world, cucumbers. You're allowed to squeeze cucumbers on Shabbos because it's food from food. And everyone holds the grapes, of course, you're not allowed to mahatayda, and if it was on its own, it's also midrash rabbanon. The whole argument is regarding pomegranates. And lapoil pomegranates, you're not allowed to squeeze, or oranges, for example, you're not allowed to squeeze midrash rabbanon. But if it was on its own, we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Now, once we have established a concept that food from food, you're allowed to separate. For example, let's say if you take a cucumber, if nobody squeezes it, you're allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos because it's considered food from food. We're going to make now another chiddush. Amar Rabbi Shmuel, soichet adam eshkol shel anavim l'toich kededa. You're allowed to squeeze grapes on Shabbos if you're squeezing directly into, let's say, food. Let's say in a salad, you're putting it into a salad, you're putting it in food, you want some of the juice of the grape, that it goes directly into food. So what does that demonstrate? That you don't want to use it for drink, you clearly want to use it for food. But wait, in halacha, we are machmer that we're going to talk about that. You're allowed to, for example, squeeze lemons directly into salad on Shabbos, so you squeeze oranges directly into salad. Because then, if you're going directly into food, into kedeta, it's as if the juice that came out of this orange or lemon, you don't want to drink it, you want to use it as a food. And you're allowed to separate food from food. So it's only if you go directly, you cannot, for example, put the squeezed lemon into a plate and then put sugar in there and make a dressing and then put it in the salad. Because then, what your initial squeezing, what you squeezed was a drink, and that you're not allowed to do. Well, if you want, so the Mishnah Berurah advises you put the sugar in the plate first and then you squeeze the lemon into there and make your dressing so that the sugar is considered a food. And therefore you can do that. Al Tareb is machmir the siddur that sugar is not considered a food if it dissolves, so it's already considered like a liquid as well. It's not good enough. You have to put it directly into the salad or into some other solid substance. Okay, so you're allowed to squeeze grapes directly into food, not into a plate, because if you put it in a plate, then it looks like it's a drink. Even though your ultimate kavana, your ultimate intention is to use it for the salad, but right now, it appears that it looks like a drink and it's forbidden. any drink that's going directly into food is considered food. Rambam asks a question. It says, Azov shechayle v'se'ez, if a male zov, who is tummy, milks a goat, then hachol of tummy. The zov touched the milk. So, and anything that he touches, that he lifts or he pushes, is it comes tummy. Now, now we don't make a difference here. Now, remember like this. Anything to become tummy, it has to be prepared. It has to come in contact with liquid. Now, it doesn't say anywhere here whether the purpose of the milking of the goat was to drink, for someone to drink, or was it to go into food and to make some kind of a mixture into food. Sounds like it doesn't matter. Now, if the milk is going into food, and you just said that milk or any liquid going into food is considered food, then how did this milk become prepared, lekabel tumah? And the zav touches it, becomes tummy. In order for the zav to metamit, whatever it is, food that he's touching, had to be prepared, had to become wet. But if this milk is not considered liquid, it's considered food, like you just said, if it goes directly into food, why would it become tummy? So zav shechayle v'se'ez, and he's milking a goat. I don't care where the milk is going into, whether it's going into food or into a cup. So chol of tummy, the milk is tummy, it's prepared. Now v'yam, you can tell me mashka b'lo oichlin oichlu, any drink that goes to the food is considered food. But mayis chashed, how did it become prepared to mekabel tumah? Says Gemara, you know why? Kedo amar Rabbi Yechon, b'tipa hamluchleches al pi hadod. Rabbi Yechon says when it comes to a woman that she wants it around him. Where the milk comes from. She wants it to be wet, makes it a lot easier. So the same thing by a goat. It makes it easier to go. Do you want a little bit of liquid there? Where even if you want the milk to go directly into food, but you want a little bit of the milk to remain there on the udder to make it easier to for milking. And therefore that, whatever you want to remain on the udder is considered liquid. And that is what, and the rest of the milk passes right through there, so it all becomes prepared, it all came in contact with liquid. And you're happy with it. The question, it says, Tomei Mei, somebody who touched a dead body, so he is now, the dead body is Abi Avoy, he's an Avatumer. If Sochat Zei Simanovi then goes ahead and proceeds to squeeze olives and grapes, Kebeya, the size of a Beya Mechaven is exactly the size of an egg. Toy is Toy. Now remember, in order to generate Tumer, it has to be the size of an egg. But if, let's say, the whole thing is the size of an egg, and as soon as you squeeze a little bit out to make it wet and everything else, so no longer you have the size of an egg. So therefore, it's toy. So the first drop came out. There's no longer a beya there to generate tumah. So if, even though it's a tummy mace, it's not become tummy. What do you call it? But if, let's say, this olive would have been larger than a beya, and a little drop comes out, and therefore it makes the olive or the grape wet, and now the tummy mace is touching it, and there's a beya left, the whole thing becomes tummy. Now, it doesn't say where, what the purpose of this drop that you're squeezing, is it going into food, or whatever, it doesn't say what the reason is. So the question is, v'yam, if you can tell me, mashka bal oichel, any liquid that's going into food, oichelu, so this drop that came out is food, v'mayis kasher, how did this grape become prepared to mekabel tumah, where's the liquid, that little juice that you came out of the grape, if your intention was to put in a salad, for example, or into meat or something, is not considered drink, but food, so how did it become prepared? Where it says, "Who moisiv lo mufar?" He asked the question. He answered, "Who said that it's talking about a very case where you're squeezing it for food? It's talking about a case b'soichil terekayda. You're squeezing into a cup, into a saucer to drink. Therefore, it's considered liquid, and that's why it prepares the grape to mekabel tumah." Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "The fact this thing here, when you're squeezing liquid into food, is it considered like food itself, or we still treat it like liquid? Is actually machlekes tanoim. It says there by a baker." They used to put some olive, some grapes, let's say the juice of grapes, on top of the bread, and you smear on top of the bread. So hamachlik ba'anovim, if you smooth out the bread before you bake it with this grape, with juice from the grapes, lo huchshir, and the bread is not considered if it's got wet and it's prepared for tumah. And Rabbi Yehuda says huchshir. The bread, you just put some grape, juice of grape on it, so it's prepared. If it comes in contact with something tummy, it becomes tummy. What's going on here? What's the argument? My lab, b'hokam, this argument. The juice from the grape that came on the bread is coming to food. Oichel is considered food. Umasav, another one holds, lab oichelu. That it's not considered food, it's considered the only drink, and therefore it's not food. And that's the machlekes. Says the Gemara, Omer HaPapa, no. You can't bring a proof from here that this is a machlekes. I can tell you in this case here, the crux of the argument is something very different. I can say over here, everyone agrees, kuli alma mashka b'lo oichol avarchlu. Perhaps we can say that everyone agrees that drink that comes to food is not food. But in halacha, the girsa is the other way around. The mashka b'lo oichol is, everyone agrees that drink that comes to food is considered food. So what's going on? What's machlekes? V'hocha b'mashka haboli ibu kemifugim. What happens to this juice from the grape that you put on top of the bread? It sits there in the oven, and within seconds, it evaporates. So the one who says that it's not prepared, he says, since you mashku, the machlekes is whether it's considered liquid or not. One of them says that it's considered liquid because it's liquid. Another one says no, because you knew lechatchila is going to evaporate, won't be anything left. It's as if you didn't. It's called hoylich liibud. You put it there in order to evaporate. So therefore, it's not machshir lekabel tumim. So if we have no raya that there's a machlekes tanoim, and either way, whether they all agree that it's liquid or whether all agree it's food. I'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.